If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Galatians 5 with me. It's where we're going to be today. Galatians chapter 5, starting a new series today on the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm excited about that. This will take place for about 8 weeks as we cover one of those a week. Speaking of fruit, let me fill you in on a couple of trees, since we're talking trees and fruit. When I was a kid, there were two trees that were a big part of my life when it comes to fruit trees. One was a cherry tree that did not belong to us. It was a neighbor's tree, two houses down. We knew those neighbors, and we had asked them several times, can we pick from your cherry tree? It was in their backyard, but about a third of it came over the alley fence into the alley where it was reachable to pick cherries. And so I think one day the neighbor was out in the alley taking out the trash and saw us picking cherries, and we asked, is it okay? And they said, they told us, you can pick anything you can reach from the alley. And those were they were big, pretty cherries. And as kids, you remember the days we played outside in those days, right? And couldn't wait till we get outside when we were a kid and spent all day long. And anytime you could find fruit on a tree, you'd eat it. And so when the cherry tree got ripe, you could look up. My parents would get tickled because 2/3 of the tree would be covered in cherries, just ready to eat. And that 1/3 hanging over the alley was just clean, picked clean, because we'd sit out there for hours eating cherries off that little cherry tree. The second tree that I want to tell you about is a pear tree that was in our front yard. And I don't know if you've ever had a pear tree, but when we moved into the house, I was a little excited about pears. But the tree rarely produced pears. And when it did produce pears, they were really, really bad. They were hard. The bugs liked them. The wasp liked them. They made messes. Saturday chores included, one of you've got to go pick up all the pears and take them to the dumpster. And so I didn't like the pear tree. When the cherry tree several years later died and they cut it down, I was sad. When the pear tree, my dad finally said, pear tree's got to go, we're going to cut it down, I celebrated, because that just meant no more pears in order to have to clean up on Saturdays. So when Jesus talks in the Bible, and he actually mentions in Matthew 7 that a good tree produces good fruit. You remember that verse, right? And a bad tree produces bad fruit. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. We begin to understand about good trees and bad trees. And what Jesus is going to reference and what we're going to study for the next 8 weeks is going to be the fact that you are referenced as a tree as well. You are a tree that either produces good fruit or bad fruit. And we want to be trees that produce good fruit. When we get over to the book of Galatians in chapter 5, we read about some specific fruit that ought to be growing in our life as a tree that should be there. And you've read this text many times, but I want to read it again. These are some things that should be a part of you that the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about it in a second, works to produce in you. You work with the Holy Spirit to produce these things. So notice with me in chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And so what we want to talk about, what I want to share with you this morning as we talk, is that this fruit that God works through His Spirit to help produce in your life is something you should be able to see. Just like that cherry tree, you should look up and go, man, there's a cherry tree. Look at all those red cherries on there. You ought to see that it's producing fruit. You also have to understand these are the fruit that you are supposed to be working to produce. Now, it is for people who have the Spirit in their life. One of the questions you have to ask yourself, we're going to preach and we're going to teach a little this morning. But one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, do I have the Spirit? Well, we're told in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that when you confess Jesus as Lord and when you repent and you are baptized, you receive, you remember it, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so at your baptism, at your confession, at your repentance, there when you were washed, had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit that at that point should have started working on you, along with you, at producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we're going to look at what that means. And one of the things that we have to do this morning is you have to, I need to share with you some facts about the fruit of the Spirit before we can get to love, okay? And I got about 6 or 7 on your page. And so let's look at that for a second. 7 facts that you need to understand, because if you can't get this, we're not going to understand what the fruit of the Spirit are. The first thing that you need to understand is the fruit of the Spirit reveals whether you're a child of God or not. Meaning, if you are not producing these items that we talked about, love, joy, peace, patience, then obviously you have either quenched the Spirit, or the Spirit's not working in your life, or you don't have the Spirit, because these should be fruit in the life of a Christian. You should be able to go, that person is loving and joyful and patient and peaceful. These are things you should have. In fact, he will say, if you still got your Bible open in chapter 5, if you'll notice, look up here in verse 19. He talks about, we got the fruit of the Spirit, which we're supposed to have, but in verse 19, there's another fruit, or a works of the flesh. Notice this, the acts of the flesh are obvious, meaning you should be able to look at somebody's life and see these things. These are things you don't want. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit is the things that ought to be in the Christ follower's life are these fruit of the Spirit. Look at the second thing on your list of 7 things we're trying to pick up. This is one that sometimes catches a lot of Christian people off guard. The fruit of the Spirit is singular. One fruit with many characteristics. Now, let me explain what that means, because a lot of folks go, I don't understand what we're getting at here. You don't get to pick your favorites, okay? It doesn't come along. You know, I looked up trees. In fact, I Googled fruit of the Spirit tree, and it would pull up this little clip art tree, and there would be a little piece of fruit that said love, and a little piece of fruit that said joy, and a little piece of fruit that said patience, and a little piece of fruit that said kindness. And it's actually, that's wrong. There's not a tree with all these different types of fruit on it. There is one tree, and there's one piece of fruit, and that fruit represents all of those characteristics. Does that make sense? It's a singular piece of fruit. It is not all these different things. And a lot of Christians come along like they're in a buffet line, and they like to go, well, I love love, and I love joy, and I love peace, but I'm not a really big fan of patience. And I'm not always very kind. And we think we get to pick and choose the ones we want. Well, I'll just be loving and I'll be kind. But don't ask me to be patient. And what we're saying, and what you need to understand, is you don't get to pick and choose. You either have the fruit or you don't. And that's the thing that we have to think about for just a second. It's a very common misunderstanding that we oftentimes say fruits of the Spirit, but it's not fruits of the Spirit. It is a singular fruit, meaning there is one fruit with different characteristics. The third thing I want you to catch is that the Spirit's goal is to make us more like Jesus and less like our old self. So that's what these fruit of the Spirit are. This love, joy, peace, this is Jesus's characteristic. And the Spirit working in you, with you, is to make you more like Jesus. Every day. That's his goal. And less like the old you pre-giving your life to Christ. God wants to change you, and he uses his Spirit to do so. He uses his Spirit to work in your life. And can I just say, this sounds harsh, but I want you to understand it. If you're the same old mean, dirty scoundrel that you were 30 years ago when you were baptized, you just got wet. There was no if there has been no transformation to make you more like Jesus, if you look like the same guy that you did when you were baptized 30 years ago, something didn't work. Because you should be able to be realizing I'm becoming more like Jesus all the time. For example, sometimes you hear people say things like, well, old Jack, you know old Jack, he's just always been that way. That's not a really good thing to say about somebody or have someone say about you. Basically, what you need to say is, you know, old Jack, he used to be that way. We should have that transformation taking place in our life. Number four that you need to understand about the fruit of the Spirit is it does not come instantaneously. It's not instant. You're not baptized in the waters of Jesus's blood and salvation, and all of a sudden you come up going, "Woo! I've got all the love and all the peace and all the joy." And I think you understand that. It is a process that takes place over time. But I just wanted you to understand that it begins and you have to work with God's Spirit. The fifth thing is the fruit is to be shared. You see, that's what fruit is. Fruit is something you share. This love that you have is not just a love you get to keep for yourself. It's to share with others. Joy that we'll talk about next week is not just joy for yourself. It's joy that people can see in you. This peace and patience and kindness, this isn't just for you. You're supposed to share your fruit. People should be able to go, oh, they're such a kind person. They just are always so kind because you share that with other people. The fruit is not a feeling, it's a choice. Here's another one that's kind of tough sometimes for us to understand. The fruit of the Spirit is not emotional. And let me explain what that means. Follow me for a second. The fruit of the Spirit, let's talk love for a second, okay? I do not love because I feel something. I love because I choose to love, because God's Spirit's working in me. I love because I choose to love you. It's not because I feel like I love you. Sometimes if I sit close enough to my wife, even after 36 years, I get those little butterflies in there. I still like those, you know? But that's really not love. Love is choosing to love someone. Joy, let's talk joy for a second. Joy is not a feeling. I don't jump or I'm not happy. I don't shout because I'm happy. I shout because I choose to be joyful. Peace is not a feeling here. Even though everything around me may not be peaceful, I'm going to choose peace. Patience, I don't feel patient with some people sometimes. But the good thing is that the fruit of the Spirit is not a feeling. It's choosing to be patient. We're not moved by our feelings. We're moved by the choice of I'm going to be loving. And I'm going to choose joy and peace. It's within your power, and you have to make the choice, the good choice, to work with God's Spirit. Look at the last one. Fruit means all or nothing. This is really important that you catch this before we talk a little bit about love as we close. Fruit means all or nothing. So we've already discovered that the fruit is singular, one piece fruit with a lot of characteristics. Could it be that you are only spiritually mature as your most immature fruit? Think about that for a second. What I mean is this. We all come along and we go, I am just loving and I'm very kind, but I have no patience with people. Basically, you've just said that, hey, maybe my most immature fruit is impatience or just being patient. If it's one fruit, are we spiritually immature as our weakest fruit? And you have people sometimes that say things like, oh, don't pray for patience for me, please. I just don't have the strength to be praying for patience right now, whatever it is. And here we find out that you don't get to choose. I want love and joy, but I don't want kindness and patience. And so we've got to figure out, what is my weakest fruit that I have, my weakest characteristic that I have, that I can grow in this area, because I want the Holy Spirit to work in my life to make me more patient even when I'm not. So the first characteristic that we want to talk about today is fruit, but I needed to add some introduction in there. So let's talk about two things that's with love. So the fruit of the Spirit, number one, right off the bat, is love. Of course, Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Paul will write later on in 1 Corinthians, you can have faith and hope, but the greatest of these is love. Everything is going to flow out of love right here. And the love that it's talking about, that Paul's talking about here in the fruit of the Spirit, is agape love. And you, of course, know there was different words for love back in biblical times. We have one word, love. They had different kinds of love. This is agape love, which means this is I choose to love. I make a choice to love. It's an action love. And you and I have the capacity to love like this because we were created like God in His image. And God is the greatest lover of all times. Let me give you a couple of examples of agape love. Jesus in John 13 sat down, reclined at a table to have supper with 12 of His closest friends. Somebody forgot to get the servant or the slave, whatever you want to call them, to wash feet when people come in. That was a tradition. And I personally can see Peter and John and maybe James, you know, them sons of thunders going, we're not going to wash feet. The basin was there, the water was there, but nobody did it. And you remember what happened. Jesus gets up in the meal, wraps a towel around His waist, takes off His cloak, and starts washing feet. And they're taken back, and they're just kind of like, what are you doing here? You know, you're never going to wash my feet, Peter said. And Peter said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. And he not only washed Peter and John and James and everyone else, but one of the greatest parts of the story we don't often talk about is he washed the feet of Judas. He didn't come to Judas, whom he already knew was going to betray him, and go, sorry, I'm not washing your feet. He chose to love Judas just like he'd love the others. And then when you get down to John 13, 34 and verse 35, Jesus says, I have a new command that I want to give you. I want you to love others as I have just loved you, with action. And then He says, by this, all men will know that you're My disciples. When you love, and when you love with action, and when you love the deserving and the undeserving Judases in this world, people go, that right there is a God follower, because Jesus said it would be so. People will know. People will not know that you are Christians by your church attendance, by your reading the Bible, which all these things are important, by your taking the Lord's Supper. Jesus said they'll know that you are Christians by your love. This is so important that we become people who serve, and we serve others, and we love with action. And God has always been a God who loves with action. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. It was a love with action. And so I ask, how are you loving people with action? The third thing I want you to catch right here, the second thing about love is love doesn't keep score. Agape love doesn't. And this is where the agape love comes in that you need to catch. If we're going to become more like Jesus, sometimes we do things so we can get something. I get that. Work hard, get a raise. Work hard, get a promotion. Do something for someone because you hope somewhere down the line they may do something for you. Get extra credit, do a little extra bonus in college, and sometimes you get a little extra credit on a paper. But that's not agape love. Agape love says, I don't do anything so that I can receive something in return. That's agape love. Agape love does not do anything for something in return or because of what somebody's done for us. Agape love doesn't say, man, they are so good to me and they always do these sweet things for me, so I am definitely loving that person. You don't love someone because they've been good to you. Agape love says, I'm going to love you no matter what. So when Lee was pregnant with our first, Taylor, we were students here at SIBI, and Lee, you know how wives have cravings and stuff. She randomly one night said, I need an Arby's beef and cheddar. And it's like 10 o'clock. That's bedtime. And she said, I need one right now. I've got to have one. I said, I'll go get it for you. And I think during that pregnancy, during those little crave stages, I probably ran to Arby's a dozen times for her. Because what was unfortunate at the time was not only was she eating for two, but I started eating for two as well. But we ate a lot of beef and cheddar during those days because that was on her list of things. But that's what agape love does, is it goes and gets that beef and cheddar. But let me tell you what agape love isn't. Let's just say that this afternoon I'm sitting in my recliner and I'm just, it's been a long day and I'm ready for a nap. Now, maybe I've woke up from a nap and I just think, man, beef and cheddar would be so good right now. Now, for me to tell Lee, hey babe, you remember all those times that I got you a beef and cheddar at Arby's? You remember those times? Yeah, how many times did I probably go? Maybe 10, 15 times and got us beef? Yeah, you were so good to me. Would you go get one for me today? That's not agape love. Agape love does not pull up anything that's happened in the past. Does that make sense? Agape love does not say, because I've done this for you, will you do this for me? Nor does it say, because you've done this for me, I will do this for you. Agape love doesn't keep score. Agape love simply says, I'm going to love you and I'm going to choose to love you. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is not self-seeking. And love does not keep score. Paul says that. And let me remind you something, and this is really important, and if you want to write this down, I think it would be good. Love doesn't only not keep score of things people have done for us, but love also doesn't keep score of the people who have wronged us. I'm going to say that again real quick, because this is really important that you catch this. Agape love not only doesn't keep score of the people who have blessed us, but agape love also doesn't keep score of the people who have wronged us. And sometimes we're really bad about keeping these little golf scorecards with somebody's name on it. Yeah, 10 years ago they did this, X, and this. These little $5 petty grievances that you can't let go. That's not agape love. And sometime we're going to spend some time talking about forgiveness, because God goes, you got to let that go if I'm going to let this go. So understand, agape love doesn't keep score. In conclusion, let me throw this out to you. I want to challenge you, give you a little homework assignment for a second if I can. So up here in the yellow or on your page, I have those fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I would love for you to circle the one or two of those that are difficult for you, your weaker characteristics of the fruit. Does that make sense? Because if we're learning that you're only as spiritually mature as your weakest, then I need to work on those. And I know that it's kind of fun to talk about, you know, hey, I'm not going to pray for patience because the Lord's going to give me, you know, He's going to stress me out and give me reason to be. But until we learn to be patient and loving and gentle, we will never become more like our Savior. And so I want to challenge you to circle a couple of those on your page that maybe you're a little weak in, that you could use to do better. Maybe some of your weakest characteristics of your fruit. And over the next 7 days, I would like you to present that to God and go, God, I would love to work on my patience or on my kindness or on my self-control. And I want you to present that to Him. And I want you to understand that God isn't going to zap you with patience or kindness. It doesn't work that way. But He is going to give you opportunities to learn to be patient. I come back up. I'll be talking in a few weeks about patience. And I'm so excited to talk about that, because it's one of those things that I've never liked very well. But it was 1 year that I decided I'm going to work. My goal this year is to become a more patient person. And you know what? I was blessed to feel like I grew a lot that year by not ignoring my weak spots, by choosing to say, I want to work on this. And so I want you to do the same. I want you to offer to the Lord this week a couple of those characteristics that maybe you're struggling with. Next week, we'll be talking joy and what it means to be joyful as a follower of Christ and how the Spirit works in our life to help produce that.
Maybe you have never given your life to the Lord. Maybe you've never confessed Him as Lord, repented of your sins. That's a big word. Given Him your life and said, I want to follow you is a good way to put that. And been baptized, where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, that's something we need to talk about. That's something you need to have a part of your life. It can be done anytime. It can be done today if you'd like. Maybe you just need prayers that we can help you with today in some way. But if you have a need that you'd like to share with us today, if you'll come while we stand and sing this invitation song, we will do our best to meet that.